Once again, God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords,
through whom we were all created, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Well, let's continue to look for a few moments this week at our sermon series on John the Baptist, and I'll open up to start here in God's Word in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. And Jesus said this of John. He said, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen none greater than John the Baptist." I'd like to talk with you for a few moments about John's greatness today, and then ask, why was he great? And also, in comparison, how great are you in God's sight in comparison with John? So let's take a look at John's greatness, and for that I want to focus on our gospel reading for today, which is John chapter 3. And let's see what made him great. Jesus says, none is greater among those born of women than John. So, why? Let's take a look here at John 3, verse 25 and following. We read, "Now a discussion," you could say also a dispute or a debate, "arose between John's disciples and a Jew over purifying. And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he was with you beyond the Jordan to whom you bore witness. Here he is baptizing, and all are going to him.' John answered, 'No one can receive anything except what is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is now full. He must increase, but I must decrease.'" Do you see greatness of John in this passage? What are some things that made him great? Number one, think about this. This is a discussion that arose, a debate. You know, John's disciples really loved John, and he has a big flock. Lots of multitudes are following him, and then they're like, well, here's a guy who just baptized the other day, and everybody's going to him. And they were jealous. They were thinking, why is everybody going over to him? What about you? What about your ministry? And John's response, one thing that made him great was, John was not interested in getting more glory than Jesus. His job, he says, was to give glory and point people to him. And so, think about this, that when people class or compare themselves against one another and say, oh, this guy's better than I am, and get jealous, that is not of God. What does John say here? He says, no one can receive anything except what is given him from heaven. In other words, I have my ministry, he has his ministry, if people are flocking to him, rejoice, that is God's work. He sought the glory of Jesus Christ, not his own glory. Does that make him great? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Secondly, what does he call himself here? The friend of the bridegroom. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So John says he is the friend of Christ. Now what kind of a friend is he? It's great to have friends, isn't it? But he is what here? The friend of the bridegroom. What's that make him? What's he really talking about here? What would be our modern day equivalent? The best man at the wedding, right? He's Christ's best friend. The man who stands at his right hand to make everything go smoothly. You know, in our day, what does a bridegroom, the best man do? Usually gets drunk. He makes a bunch of coarse jokes, you know, and acts like a total fool, an imbecile, wrecks things, and then he makes some sort of drunken toast that really came out of some Cracker Jack box, right? Not so in biblical days. This was a week-long celebration and festivities. The best man, the best friend of the groom, his job, was to make the whole thing run beautifully and smoothly. He was there to prepare the way of the groom through everything he was going to do. So the groom didn't have to worry about it. He's going to walk through a beautiful experience. He was also there to prepare the bride for preparing to meet the husband, because the husband, they might know each other, but the bride still stays in her parents' house until the day of the wedding. And great celebrations, great things go on. Remember, Jesus tells the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins. What were they doing? They were waiting to to hear the call, come out and meet the bridegroom, because it was a huge festivity. The bride, the groom would come and be accompanied by trumpets and fanfare and virgins with lamps lit, going to the house of his bride to take her to his own house, to be his own wife. And so this was John's job, was to, number one, not seek glory for himself, but seek the glory of the groom. His job was also to be the go-between between the husband and his future wife during that week of festivities, make everything run smoothly. So that makes him great. Thirdly, what does he say? He says, he rejoices, the friend of the bridegroom rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. In other words, all the joy that the husband, the groom, is experiencing in this whole time, the best man, his best friend, is having great joy in his friend's joy. So why are you coming to me, says John, jealous that this guy, to whom I bore witness that he's the Son of God the other day, that he has more glory than I do. You're acting foolishly. It's my joy that he is getting all the glory, because that's my job. I'm the best man in the wedding. And then also, what does he say, the very last thing? He must increase, but I must decrease. His job as best man is full of splendor, very important. He has a super honorable and key role in the whole wedding festivities and ceremony, just even somewhat like our best men today. But his job is, as the bridegroom comes and gets his glory and increases, his job is to decrease in the background. Now, what kind of a best man did you have in your wedding? Nah, don't answer that. All right. Maybe he was great, maybe he was not so great. I had a very great blessing to have a great guy. Most of you have met Ben from England. And when he came, you loved him. You fell in love with him almost there, right? To see him? I mean, he is suave. He looks like James Bond. He is the voice of Vidal Sassoon. I mean, he's like so smooth. He's charming. He's funny. But he was very much to me like John. He could have easily stolen the show, stolen the limelight, because he's so charming and good looking and British. And I tell you, my little niece fell in love with him, as well as a lot of the women. I brought him here to church member a couple years ago, and how many, even some elderly ladies came up and went, wow, I really like your friend, He could easily steal the show. But what did he do for me? Our best friend friendship was forged on the high seas. That's where I met him, on a schooner in the Caribbean, sailing up to Massachusetts. We were aloft in the middle of the night, furling sails in the under the stars, far out on the ocean. When I was considering marrying Beth, he'd take walks with me on various beaches and islands we'd come ashore at, and we'd counsel, and he'd talk with me about those things. When it came time for the wedding, you know how great he was? He flew over from Britain, and it was almost like I had a British butler. He was amazing. Again, he could have stolen the show, and everybody loved him. He had his moment of glory as he made all the things go great. But during the rehearsal, our priest didn't show up because we were Episcopal at the time. And Beth was tired and not feeling so well, and we were exhausted, and then we had to go to the rehearsal. Remember, I'm driving, Beth's over here, and he was in the back seat, and he leans forward right between the two of us. And this gave us such encouraging words there and built us up again. The next morning, we got up early in the morning at sunrise. I wanted to get up before sunrise and see the sunrise over the ocean and pray on my wedding day. Well, I went off down the beach to pray with my Lord. And when I came back, Ben, who had been left on the other side of the beach, I came back, and he's very artistic. He described this 20-foot by 20-foot Celtic cross, so beautiful in the sand. And he'd written, Greg and Beth united in Jesus. And it was just this beautiful. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Then I went back. We had breakfast, and we went back to our little hotel room. I took a shower to get ready. And when I came out, my tuxedo was laid out perfectly in the bed. I'm like, this guy. I mean, it's like, where did I find this guy, right? My own British butler. On our way to the church, he read various scriptures about marriage, some very noble, like Ephesians 5, and some Like Proverbs, he says, better to live on the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. You know, just humorous things to lighten things up. And he encouraged me through my wedding day. And he was there right next to me as Beth comes down the aisle. And afterwards, during the reception, he gave this speech that he worked on with cue cards. It was so, he had everybody in there just enthralled and enjoying him. Afterwards, we went back. He played the fiddle for our people at the house, and then he decorated my car and sent me off. But I'll tell you, he was very much to me like John the Baptist, because he could have stolen the show. He was a glorious and shining light, as Jesus said of John the Baptist, his best friend. But Ben was always there to back off into the shadows to give glory and make everything go great for me. And his joy was in my joy. And I was thinking, this is how John the Baptist was to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, and in fact, he's my best friend. He is the best man among all those who've ever been born of women, including, by the way, Moses and Elijah and the rest. There's been none ever greater than John the Baptist. He is number one. What did he do? He went to prepare the way of the Lord, right? To make the way for the bride, for the groom. And also to make ready for the Lord the people prepared. To prepare the bride. To bring the two together in a beautiful exchange of love in the wedding ceremony. That's what John the Baptist was sent to do, and he is number one, and he has a great place in heaven. None is greater amongst those born of women than John the Baptist, says Jesus. And when John eventually was killed, remember, it says in the Bible that Jesus withdrew to a lonely place apart by himself because he was so deeply grieved over his best friend, his best man, the greatest, who have now passed. And so he was very moved because he loved John. So was John great? He didn't seek his own glory, but the glory of the bridegroom. He was the perfect best man, leading to make the wedding so perfect for the husband and his new bride. And he rejoiced in the joy of his master, his friend, his king, and he said, I will decrease, he must increase. Are these all things we should be seeking after in our own hearts? Sure, yeah, all these are great qualities. John was great, but now I'm asking a question. How about you guys? Are you as great as he was, less or more? Let's open up and read again in Matthew. We turn over here again in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says, verse 11, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is none, has risen none, no one greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Are you greater than John the Baptist after all these things we've talked about? Well, if you think about it in terms of his qualities, he may be greater than you and I. And we want to emulate and be like him in all these things we've talked about. But in terms of position, we're greater. Because if you think about a wedding, the best man has a slenderous, wonderful, super role to play. Very great. But who's greater than he? Well, the bride, right? Yes. And you are in the kingdom of God. He who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. If this is a splendid God marriage with mankind, John is the best man, and you are the bride. And I'll tell you something. As much as people love Ben, and they do. They love Ben when they meet him. In fact, when Naomi brought him, we had him over here a couple years ago, she brought him to our school, and the whole school fell in love with him. I mean, everybody loves this guy. But as soon as Beth arrived on the aisle and started walking down, and the sunlight was pouring in through the stained glass windows in this beautiful Episcopal church, and this crimson carpet, and she was just bathed in the morning light, and she was walking down with the bouquet, just full of grace. Her face was just effusing or pouring out grace and compassion and goodness and kindness. Everybody forgot about Ben for the joy of the bride. You are least in the kingdom of heaven. You are in the kingdom of heaven. John was the old covenant, the best that there is from the Old Testament. But you're in the new covenant. You're in the New Testament. You are the bride, and that makes you in positionally even better than he. Let's think about the position that you have as opposed to John. He was the best man at the wedding, the best of the old covenant. But what does the old covenant say? Remember what it said here? In the old days, before Jesus came, that God told Hosea to say, go take to yourself a wife of harlotry, for the land commits great harlotry by forsaking the Lord. Israel was supposed to be God's bride, but they had committed adultery. And we also had all sinned and done wrong things and were stained and not worthy. But what do we see here in Hosea? God promised, in that day, says the Lord, you'll call me my husband and no longer my Baal. And he says, going on, I will betroth you to me forever. I'll betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and steadfast love and in mercy. I'll betroth you to me in faithfulness and you shall know the Lord. Remember what we read here in Isaiah? Over here, God says, Isaiah chapter 62, verse 4. You shall no more be termed forsaken, your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. As the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Are you greater than John the Baptist? You tell me right now. Positionally, he was the greatest of the Old Testament. But you're in the new covenant, and you, though we've all sinned, we might not feel worthy, God, your husband, has made betrothed you to himself in righteousness, in purity, and in justice to wash you of every spot and stain. Think about what Ephesians 5 says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Is that where you are today? Is that how you see yourself? Oh, I don't feel worthy. Oh, God, I don't know if you really like me. Oh, God, I don't know. I can't be great. God says, I betrothed you to me. In Christ, you're washed. You wear a pure white dress. Do you think it's possible for you to become a virgin again once you've lost your virginity? Well, physically, that seems impossible. But all things are possible with God. We've sinned, but God has the power to make you a virgin again. Perfect, pure, ready for your perfect, pure one husband, Jesus Christ. And so how great are you? God says, look at this wedding. John is my best man, no one greater than he, but he who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. You are the bride, and you are greater than John. And I'll tell you something, as much as I love Ben, and we got back to my house, and he decorated our car so Beth and I can drive off, and he played the fiddle, and he was great to the end, and rejoiced in my joy. Guess what? I didn't take him on the honeymoon. I said, bye-bye, Ben. See you some other time. And now it's time for me to just go away with Beth and for us to enjoy the great joy of each other. And so you are in a similar position. Jesus Christ is taking you a new covenant. You are his bride. And he says, today, this very day, rejoice that I'm your husband, that you are washed, and you are redeemed in me. Your sins are gone. I have shed my blood at the cross so that you can, in that crimson light, in that blood of myself, with the flowing light of God coming down upon you, you are a new bride walking down the aisle to your husband. So that means you're great. Very high honor God has bestowed upon you. Enjoy that. Lastly, I'll say this. John was great. You're greater. But who's the greatest? Jesus Christ. At any wedding. You know, in our day, the bride has the greatest honor, doesn't she? All weddings in America are basically about the bride. You know, she's so beautiful, and everybody's waiting to see what she looks like, and the guy is just up there looking like everybody else. You know, in biblical days, it was really all about the groom. I mean, the whole festivities, he had the highest honor, the focus was on him, and they rejoiced the bride too. But the fanfare and the virgins waiting to carry their lamps, they're going to accompany the groom to the husband. He gets the greatest glory. And here, John was great. You're greater, but Jesus, greatest of all, by far. And all the glory goes to him. And let's rejoice in him like John did. In his joy, in him, in his increase, our decrease inside of us, that we just rejoice in the fellowship of the reconciliation and friendship that we have with God through his shed blood, and all to his glory He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, both now and to all time. And we're waiting for the final consummation of the marriage feast found there in Revelation and chapter 19, when it says, I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of mighty thunder peals crying, Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let's rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, but the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We got that waiting for us, friends. You're already great, but God's got a position for you as his bride in the kingdom to come, where he says, come up here, my dear, sit with me on the throne, and we together shall rule over the world to come for all time in righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.